says, "Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." Like you're bound to the Lord by his goodness. That makes okay, there we go. Anyway, back to the service. So, well, I was gonna run all the plagues, just do like a big, you know, one lesson. Here's all the plagues. This is what happened. But the plagues, and I realize they don't happen the same way each time, and there's different, I don't know, there's just different things involved in each of them. And so, anyhow, like this next plague, the plague of lice here, Exodus chapter 8, it's just three or four verses. And there's no mention that of Aaron and Moses going back before Pharaoh after the last plague, the plague of frogs. It's almost like the plague of frogs happens. Pharaoh says, you know, take him away tomorrow. Moses takes him away. Pharaoh's heart is hardened when the pressure's off. And when Pharaoh's heart is hardened, the Lord just responds by sending lice now. And it's, there's not even an exchange between Aaron and Moses and Pharaoh. It just happens. And so so that's they're kind of different. It's not like there's this back and forth between Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron each time. They happen differently. So Exodus chapter 8, verse 16, verses 16 through 19 is the verses for this one. It's the third plague. And the Bible says, "The Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Wow. "And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." So this is the last straw. Like I said, there's no, doesn't seem to be an exchange between Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron. The Lord just sends the lice. The magicians attempt to duplicate this one, and this is the last straw. They can't do this one. And they make an attempt, or some sort of attempt, and they just tell Pharaoh, this is definitely the hand of God here. So let's pray, and I'll give you three things about the finger of God. If you think of it, it's like a fingerprint. It's this event is characteristic of divinity. This event, I mean, in a general way, this event is characteristic of divine activity. And that's what the magicians are saying. This is the hand of God. This is not something we can do. It's not something we can manufacture. We can't make this happen in the way that it's happened. So let's pray. I give you three things about the fingerprint of God here. And we'll go. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And then for those that are sick, a lot of them sick, lots of folks sick today, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies and your grace would be abundant. And Lord, for those that are traveling, get them back safely. And then just do pray that you'd help us through this little lesson here, learn what you'd have us learn in the Old Testament accounts of the history of the nation of Israel and what you did in their history here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we covered some introductory material about the way the plagues happened. This one happens seems to be is a reaction more against Pharaoh, and the Lord doesn't attempt to reason with Pharaoh in any way. He just tells Moses and Aaron, tells Aaron to strike the dust with the rod, and it'll become lice, and it does. And the several things are the same in this plague. For instance, the reaction of Pharaoh is the same. He's still opposed to God's power. He's still opposed to God. And I want to begin with the way this ends. This plague ends here. Because I've heard there's some interesting things that the Lord says and happen in the Bible. Well, I know we think of God as the ability to do anything He wants to do, and having the ability to do anything He wants to do. And you don't think of naturally anything really stronger than God's power. But in the Bible, you find some things that are actually stronger than God's power, at least in the short term. Not overall, but in the short term they are. For instance, you find that Jesus Christ said to the scribes and Pharisees one time, He says, you regard the traditions of men and you make the word of God of none effect by your traditions. So you have nullified the work of the words of God. And how did you do that? How did you quench the work of God? How did you eliminate the work of God? Well, you did it by your traditions. You didn't listen to the word of God. You had your traditions, and that's what you went by. And in the short period of time, a short term, your traditions are more powerful in your life than the work of God and the word of God. In this case, back over here to Exodus and Pharaoh, you find that the pride of man is stronger than the work of God. Man has the ability to rebel and resist and fight against God's will. In fact, you find that with Pharaoh. You even find that when Stephen is preaching in Acts chapter 7 and he says to those Pharisees and scribes, he says, you do always resist the will of God. You just fight it. And so, you know, as we do think about, you do think about probably God being the most powerful being, and He is powerful. You think there's nothing more powerful than God. And the reality is, in the short term, there are several things that are more powerful than God, particularly things that influence your response to His Word. Those things are more powerful than God's Word. And they can make the Word of God of none effect. They can, like the cares of this world and the parable about the seed and the sower and the cares of this world, and they essentially choke out the word of God. Tribulation sometimes destroys the work. But in the short term, there's a lot of things that trample on the word of God and the work of God. And that's why there's judgment doesn't happen necessarily right here and right now. There's things that have to be sorted out in the future. And so that's the first point. God's power is opposed in Pharaoh's life, and he has the ability to do that. His pride is just, it's just really off the charts. I mean, when we're only on plague number 3, but by the time you get to the last plague, his country, the Egyptian country, is just, I can't imagine what it looks like by the time you get to the last plague. But there's been so much destruction in that nation, and still this Pharaoh is not, he's not willing to give up. And so his pride is just, it's unreasonable, it's ridiculous, and that goes for anybody's pride. It's just, it taken to its logical end, it makes no sense why someone would oppose the work and will of God. So that's the last part, but let's go through and understand a couple other things about what the magician said. Because after this lice starts to permeate the nation, the magicians, when their attempt to duplicate this, they can't. And their response is this, and they're the ones that say this. They're the ones that say, This is the finger of God. That isn't the testimony of saved people or God's people. That's the testimony of these heathen magicians observing something they can't do and they can't duplicate. And they don't understand how it's done. It's just something that is beyond them, and they would say it's just supernatural. It's not something we can do. And they call it the finger of God. Now, why would they say that? Why would they say that? Because, like I said, it's like the fingerprint. It uniquely belongs to a person, particularly, it uniquely belongs to God. And no one else can do what's been done here. And what is it? What is it that's been done that... So they could bring about frogs. They could call out frogs. They could turn a rod into a snake. They could do that, or at least have the appearance of that. But when God said, "Smite the dust of the land," in verse 16, that it may become lice. So you're going to, by the work of God and by the power of God, transform dust into life now. And that's the issue. They can't do that. They can't turn dust into life. They can call out frogs. They can make the appearance of this rod becoming a snake. They can do that. But they can't turn dust into life. And so that is the fingerprint of God. God's unique divine fingerprint there. His work is uniquely associated with turning dust into life. And that's what they say. They couldn't do it. So they just say this is the finger of God. And I think about, there's other times, and I'm not going to preach all of them, I just mention them. I think of other times where the finger of God shows up. Jesus said at one time, he said, "If I cast out devils by the finger of God, then you know the kingdom of God has come to you." This is something you can't do. You don't have the ability to remove unclean spirits and things like that, but God does. And so Jesus says, "Look, if I cast out devils, this is by the finger of God. You know the kingdom of God's come to you." That was one time when the finger of God is mentioned. A very famous one that y'all know. Do what? What is it? Trivia. Yeah. Writing on the wall. Yeah. Belshazzar is there, and he's partying, and he's just mocking God, and they bring in all the temple items, and they're drinking out of them and just partying and all that kind of stuff. And this guy doesn't know that this is the last day he's going to be king in this kingdom. Yeah, I mean, literally right outside of his door are the Persians. And for some reason, he doesn't care. He's partying it up. And amidst the whole party, he sees on the wall across the way this... something he describes as a finger and a hand, a man's hand, and it starts writing on the wall, and that's where you get the writing on the wall. You know, everybody knows that phrase, the writing on the wall. It means the end is near, and he has that inscription. I think Perez and Farson, something like that, and can't figure out what it means. But the whole episode just scares him to death, and he finds out that Daniel can interpret things. And so Daniel comes in there and he says, "Well, what that means is you've been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting, and this is, your kingdom is done. You're over with." And the king says, "Oh, good. Well, let me put a necklace around you and let me make you the third president of the kingdom and all that." And Daniel's like, "Well, it isn't going to matter because your kingdom is over with. You're it's done. The Persians are coming in and they will destroy this kingdom." And so the writing on the wall, that was the finger of God. And it denoted judgment. It denoted a marked end of something. Finger of God here is life from dust. The finger of God in Jesus' day was the ability to to cast out unclean spirits and devils and remove them. And I would say maybe our idea of some of that casting out devils and stuff, I mean, you know, I think everyone to some degree, you grow up and if you, I mean, even if you grow up in church, but you say you get saved later on or as a teenager or something, you got all kinds of stuff in your life that doesn't belong there. And you find that the Word of God is able to purge out all this junk from your life. And it is, and it does. And it has the ability to remove all this uncleanness and garbage out of it. And so that's God's fingerprint. That's a unique stamp. That is something that man can't do that. He can't perform that. He can't make light out of darkness. He can't make life out of dust. He doesn't have the ability to make reconciliation or judgment of things that ultimately all judgment, it ends up in God's hands. So the magicians, they make the attempt. They can't do it. And it's kind of harkens back to creation, God making life out of dust. And if you think about it, he'll do it again in the future. Resurrection, he will make life out of dust. He will bring to life things that are in the dirt. And that is something uniquely belonging to the Lord. And then this, so you've got God's power opposed, which it's been opposed. And before I make this last point, I'll say every single thing has been the fingerprint. Everything has been the power of God. But now it's recognized by the magicians because they can't do it. They could do these other things or at least copy these other things. But now they can't even copy this. They can't even pretend to do this. This is so far beyond them. So they're willing to admit defeat. This is the finger of God, verse 19. And in this case, like I said, these heathens are the ones to identify the work as the finger of God, and the statements, the best description they could give of the miracle. Like, what else do you say about this? There's no one that can do this. We can't do it. We can't duplicate it. This is divine. This is supernatural. So it wasn't a physical finger. It's not like a physical finger goes down and does this. It's just a description of a characterization of what's happened here. And so because of it, the magicians give credit to God. It makes Pharaoh even more mad. He's even more irate at all these demands, and hates what's happening even more angry at this. But I'll say it this way, that the finger of God, it's not a physical finger like you would think. It's like I said, it's a characterization. It's really the work of God. And it's done through these vessels. It's done through Moses and Aaron. And really, this is a good application here. Even though Moses and Aaron do this work, like they're the one, Aaron is the one that hits the rod on the ground, the dirt becomes lice. Aaron's the one that does this, but it's clear that God is actually the one doing this, even though it's being done through Aaron. And that is a great application for Christianity, for you and I. The fact that you and I are vessels for something God is going to do and wants to do. And it's something that the world, it reminds me of what Jesus says. When these men say, these magicians say, what's happened is clearly something God did. It makes me think of what Jesus said. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your father which is in heaven. So they see you doing something, but they know it's not your work that you're doing. You're doing something, but it's not something that originated with you. It's something that God is doing, actually, but he's doing it through you. And that's what these magicians understand, that Moses and Aaron are these vessels doing these things. But what they're doing is not, it doesn't originate with Moses and Aaron. It's much bigger than Moses and Aaron. It's God's work. And that truly is the work of a Christian. And I don't mean the work of a Christian is sending plagues on people, but it's more about allowing God to do something through you so that people say, wow, that is the work of God. That's something God did. That's something I know Renee did it, but really Renee didn't do it. God did it through Renee. Or I know Joe and Anissa did it, but it wasn't Joe and Anissa. It was God that was doing it. And that's really the work of Christianity. That's what the Lord says. And at this point in time, when these magicians see this is what they do. Albeit it's negative stuff going on, but it's so clearly the work of God at this point. That's all they can say. They can't say anything else. They can't say Moses brought this on us. They can't say that Aaron's the one doing this, because no man can do this work. So this is really the application in all this, that it's the finger of God, but it's done through the vessels of God. I think of what Paul said, I think it's in Corinthians, where he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that in us, and I wish, because there's more to that verse, but I think it ends up talking about glorifying God, but the treasure's in the earthen vessel. And that truly is a Christian's life and work. Paul would say it for sure in Ephesians, where he says, it's those famous verses, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace you save through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on to say in verse 10 that you're created for good works. That's the purpose. That's the point. And the point is that you would do these good works and people would see them and recognize that isn't that person. That's something bigger. That's God doing that through them. And that's the idea. And so the finger of God, it's opposed in Pharaoh's life. And you see some things in the Bible and people's lives and in your life too, in the short term anyway, where God's work can be opposed. God's not going to, he doesn't account for everything in the present time. Right now, he will one day, but not right now. And so he allows things to be more powerful than him. Traditions of men, the cares of this world, the pride of man, all of these things are more powerful than the work of God right now. The word of God, and that's pretty clear. But then the unique fingerprint of God, where he brings life forth out of dirt, that's something unique to him. Life out of dust, and then, like Jesus said, bringing light into darkness and casting out uncleanness and devils and things like that. He said, then the kingdom of God's come to you. That's the fingerprint of God. And then, practically speaking, that work of God, that characterization of God's work as his fingerprint, it's done through vessels. And it's using people. God uses people to do this. And that's how he carries out his work. And that is really the definition of a Christian. That's someone who's carrying out the work of God, and that way bringing glory to the Father. And so in all of this plague, it reveals some things, and I think that statement by those magicians really carries a lot of weight, and it's really, really an instructive statement to hear them say, okay, this is something God did. We can't do this. We have tried. We can't do this. It's something God did. And so that is the plague of lice and some of the instruction and some of the lessons you can learn from that particular plague there. So there we go. Wrap it up. Enjoy your afternoon. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray we would, it's simple stuff here, but learn the lesson we need to learn. Just like you said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the goal. That's the point. And I pray we would be those types of Christians that would fulfill the purpose that you've set about for us to do good works and not be so afraid of that word. Good works. That's good stuff. It's good. And it's divine. And I pray that we would understand what those things are, know what they are, so that God could be glorified. And Lord Jesus Christ, you could be magnified in this and in our lives. Thank you for each soul that's here. Do lift up folks that are sick. And I do want to lift up Randy and Maureen, as I know they got to make some decisions. Just pray that you would give them wisdom about decisions, the timing on decisions and things like that. And just in general, several folks dealing with health issues, and the health issues are such a roller coaster, just up and down. Some days are good, some days are bad. So I pray you'd give all of our folks wisdom here about dealing with health issues and relatives with health issues. Thank you again for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.